And in all this thinking, it never crossed your mind that I might be worried? That you at least owed me the courtesy of a phone call to say you'd be late? Not as your master, Serena. Not as some guy who considers you a slave, but as someone who cares about you.
She closed her eyes as fatigue centered between her shoulders. When she opened them again, Damon was dragging a hand through his hair in a supreme gesture of agitation.
"Go and change into the clothes I've laid out for you," he said in a controlled voice. "Then return to the living room. We have guests."
He stared her down as if waiting for the word to cross her lips. He was forcing her into the decision she'd been wavering on the entire day. If she said no, she'd leave, and she wouldn't be back. If she did his bidding, she was committing to staying, to continuing the farce. Neither option seemed attractive to her right now. What she really wanted was to be alone, and she could be alone if she just said no. Instead, she nodded and walked past Damon toward the bedroom. He didn't touch her, didn't hold her back or say anything further. When she looked back as she entered the hallway, he'd already left the foyer. She continued up the stairs, her fatigue and confusion growing with each step. When she got to the bedroom, she saw that Damon had laid out one of the exquisite dresses he'd purchased for her along with a matching black bra and panties, silk stockings and a pair of expensive heels. There was even jewelry to accompany the sophisticated look. As she continued to stare at the clothing, she had a swift realization. Tonight she wasn't his slave. He was inviting her into his world, his real world, where he expected her to mingle with his guests. Normalcy. A step out of the roles they played. And yet, they only existed in the realm of her fantasy, a world she had created. He was making it real. Fear raced up her spine, fear and uncertainty. He was changing the rules and the parameters. How could he expect her to embrace his reality and then turn away? God, she didn't need it to be more real between her and Damon. If anything, she needed the protection that fantasy and escapism offered. There was no chance of her losing her way when things weren't in reach. But to expect her to interact with him as if they had a chance, as if things were normal, it was the height of cruelty. Her head spun as panic and distress tightened every muscle. She couldn't attend as his date, some woman he had a relationship with. No, if she attended, it would be as his slave. There would be no breaching the walls of her carefully constructed fantasy. Chapter 29. Damon returned to the living room after taking several moments to collect himself. He'd been distracted the entire time he was entertaining his guests, because he'd been worried about Serena. There were only so many times he could excuse himself to use his cell phone before it went from an inconvenience to outright rudeness. When he'd heard her drive up, his relief had made him weak in the knees. That pissed him off almost as much as her thoughtlessness. And then he'd seen her pale face and enormous blue eyes, seen the fatigue lurking in the shadows. She'd said the words every man dreaded hearing. She'd been thinking. He'd worried about her first day outside the fantasy they'd built in the week they'd been together, and rightly so. She'd already started pulling away, and there wasn't a damn thing he could do about it. He tuned into the conversation as two of the waiters he'd hired for the evening made rounds with trays of hors d'oeuvres and wine. The piano music, usually something he enjoyed, tinkled like broken glass on his nerves. Part of him wanted to punish Serena for the worry she'd caused him. For a moment he'd considered telling her to undress and come to him nude with only the jewelry he'd given her adorning her skin. None of his guests would be shocked or surprised. But he wouldn't embarrass her. Had sworn that he'd never do anything to purposely humiliate her, and he damn sure wasn't into retaliation. No, he'd deal with her punishment later. If she balked, if she said no, then it would end sooner than expected, but the result would be the same whether now or 3 weeks from now. He couldn't keep her forever, and the haunted look on her face when she came to his door further drove that point home. A chuckle echoed over the room, and Damon looked up to see the source of his guest's amusement. He stiffened when he saw Serena standing in the doorway, not a stitch of clothing on her gorgeous body. She stared defiantly at him, her eyes glittering with challenge. Not responding to the obvious bait, he set his glass of wine aside and ignored her for a moment while he finished the conversation he was involved in. He kept tabs on her from the corner of his eye. She stood quietly, but the longer she stood, the more ill at ease she became. When he was convinced she was about to turn and walk back out, he started across the room. his pace unhurried, his expression purposely unreadable.
"Serena," he said as he came abreast of her, "so glad you could make it. Everyone has been eager to meet you."
She glanced sharply up at him, then twisted her hands nervously in front of her, an impulse decision she was already regretting by the looks of things. He'd already tried to make things easy for her. He wouldn't do anything more.
"Come," he said, taking her arm.
As they walked toward the people gathered, he leaned down to whisper close to her ear.
"That's two punishments I owe you now. One for your inconsideration, and one for your blatant disobedience."
Conversation ceased as everyone looked openly at him and Serena. Warm smiles framed his friends' faces, but it was for a fraud. They were glad for him when they shouldn't be. They thought he'd finally found a woman willing to commit herself wholly to him. He introduced her around, and Serena's growing confusion was a tangible thing. Her brow creased, and it was obvious the smile she'd pasted on her lips was dangling precariously.
"Congratulations, Damon," Robbie offered as they approached one of his oldest friends. "Your woman is quite beautiful. You're lucky to own her."
Serena glanced back and forth between Robbie and Damon, her lips pursed. Then her gaze settled on the woman standing quietly by Robbie's side, and Damon saw the instant that understanding flashed. She tensed, and color swept up her neck and into her cheeks. Her mouth tightened and tears crowded her eyes. Damon didn't give her an opportunity to do much with the realization. Instead, he ushered her onward. She wasn't going to be thrilled when they came to the next person in line to be introduced. They already were acquainted. But she'd made her choice, and she'd have to live with the consequences. As they walked toward the window where two men stood, one turned, and he felt Serena go rigid beside him.
"Micah," Damon said calmly, "I'd like you to meet Serena. I understand the two of you are already acquainted. Serena, you know Micah Hudson. He's a good friend of mine."
Micah flashed a smile at Serena and raised an eyebrow as his gaze swept over Serena's naked body. Damon bent low so that his lips were a mere centimeter from her ear. His hand curled tightly around her arm even as his fingers brushed across the band.
"I would have spared you this discomfort," he murmured. "You brought this on yourself by thinking to embarrass me in front of my guests. No one will blink an eye over your nudity. Every man here, with the exception of Micah, is accompanied by his slave. So you see, Serena mine, you've only succeeded in shaming yourself."
She trembled in his grip but nodded once in acknowledgement of his words. She gave Micah a quivery smile even as her chin jutted upward as she gathered her tattered pride around her. "Of course I remember Micah," she said quietly.
"Serena, I must say you look lovely tonight," Micah said. "Damon is a lucky bastard."
"I like to think so," Damon said in a low voice.
He glanced sideways at Serena to see that she still held herself stiffly. Her expression shuddered. She wasn't going to give an inch, but then neither was he. Better to confront the issue here and now because he wasn't going to waste the next 3 weeks building a dream with borrowed nails. He straightened and looked at Micah.
"Since you're the only one here tonight without a slave, I'd appreciate it if you would assist in the discipline of mine."
"What?" Serena spit out. He turned and pinned her with his stare.
"Care to make it three, Serena mine?"
Her lips clamped shut, but he could see her itching to say it, to blurt it out, to end it here and now. And so he waited, expecting it. To his surprise, her shoulders lost some of their rigidity. She closed her eyes and lowered her head.
"Serena?"
Micah asked. She slowly raised her head to look at him.
"Are you okay with this?"
Micah asked gently.
"All of this, I mean?"
Damon didn't take exception to the question, or to Micah infringing on his relationship with Serena. Micah loved women, period. He was protective of them, flirted endlessly with them. But at the end of the day, he'd take on just about anyone who was taking advantage of a woman. And right now, it was a question that Damon very much wanted the answer to himself. "I hurt Damon," she said in a clear voice. "I was thoughtless when he's been nothing but considerate. And then when confronted by my actions, in my anger I tried to embarrass him. I accept his punishment."
"Even not knowing what it is?" Micah persisted.
"He won't hurt me," she said. The utter conviction in her voice carried across the room, and there were several nods of approval from his friends. Micah glanced back up at Damon, evidently satisfied that Serena was acting of her own volition and didn't need saving. Damon's lips twitched with amusement.
"Would you have fought me if she'd said she was here against her will?" he asked Micah.
"Damn straight," Micah said with a chuckle. "If only so I could be the hero and carry her off into the sunset."
Damon turned formally to Serena and stared at her without emotion or inflection.
"You've earned two punishments. One I will administer now in the presence of the people you've tried to offend. The other, which is for your lack of consideration for me, will be administered in private."
She faced him calmly and nodded her acceptance, but he could see her body trembling and the whiteness of her knuckles as she curled her fingers into tight fists.
"Follow me," he ordered as he started for the center of the room.
He motioned for Robbie to press the button that would drop the restraints from the ceiling. Serena's eyes widened when she saw the two individually suspended cuffs slowly descend. When they were low enough, he took Serena's wrists and secured each, checking to make sure they didn't bite too harshly into her skin. Then he nodded at Robbie, who raised the cuffs until her arms were stretched over her head. From one of the cabinets near the television, Damon took out a spreader bar with ankle cuffs. He secured her legs on either side, spreading her so that her heels left the floor. She was now completely vulnerable and helpless. He couldn't help the surge of arousal even as the reason for her punishment weighed heavily on him. It would do no good to linger too long on his darker thoughts when such an enjoyable experience awaited him. Serena was beautiful in bondage. Her absolute submission, her acceptance of his authority over her, humbled him and made him hope again, even as he cursed her for inspiring that hope. Gathering her long, unbound hair in his hands, he carefully placed the strands over her shoulders so they were away from her back. Then he walked around to face her, his hands at his belt buckle.
"Your punishment is one lash for every one of my guests you disrespected. That makes a dozen. For each of those people, I get one for me in turn. That makes 24 total. I won't go lightly. You will give me pleasure and receive none in return. Is there anything you wish to say before we start?"
Chapter 30. No. Serena knew it was the word Damon expected to hear. Did he want her to say it? Did he want to push her until she had no choice but to give up and call it quits? No. There was something else in his eyes. He tried hard to hide it, but she could see it. A glimmer of hope? He didn't want her to quit, but neither would he force this on her. She locked gazes with him, hoping her eyes said more than words ever could. She shook her head wordlessly and braced herself for the pain and embarrassment of what lay ahead. It was hers. It belonged to her, and she would own it with grace and humility. He undid his belt and pulled it from his pants. In plain view, he carefully doubled it over and handed it to Micah, who once again looked questioningly at Serena. She briefly closed her eyes, but then reopened them and nodded at Micah so he would know that she accepted this. Micah took the belt from Damon and circled behind her.
"You will look at me, and only me," Damon said.
Her arms already ached from the strain, and her toes were numb from the awkwardness of being stretched so that her weight rested on the balls of her feet. Again she nodded, just hoping he would get on with it. But she should have known better. Damon was nothing if not patient and exacting. The first lash startled her. Her entire body jerked, and she cried out as pain burst over her back. Strong fingers dug into her chin and forced it from her chest where it had fallen. Her gaze found Damon, his stare hard and penetrating.
"At me, Serena mine. Look at me, at all times."
She raised her chin from his grasp and steeled herself for the next blow. It came like fire, this time across her ass. When she made no sound and kept her stare locked with Damon's, she saw approval spark in his eyes. It was obvious the last thing he wanted was for her to dissolve into a blubbering mass of hysterical female. The next lash came quicker, across her shoulders where the skin bunched from her arms being stretched above her head. She closed her eyes and blew out her breath in a long whoosh. Damon's fingers yanked at her chin, and she opened her eyes to see reprimand in his.
"Another lash for her disobedience," Damon said to Micah.
She sucked in her breath and stared at him with hurt in her eyes.
"At me, Serena. Look at me. Every time you disobey, I'll add another lash."
The next blow fell in the middle of her back, and she sank her teeth into her bottom lip, but she kept her eyes open and directed on Damon. Micah spaced the lashes equally over her back and buttocks, careful not to put two in a row in the same spot. By the time he got to 11, her entire back pulsed and ached with red-hot intensity. At 12, Damon called a halt. Hope surged within her. Maybe she'd pleased him enough that he'd pardon her from the remaining 13 he'd promised.
"The rest I want on her ass, and only her ass," Damon said. "I want it red. Beautiful like her. Alternate cheeks, but don't spare any effort."
Her body went rigid, and she sucked in her breath, her protest surging to her lips.
"It will only hurt worse if you tense," Damon said gently. "Relax, and it won't hurt as bad."
She took a long breath and forced her muscles into submission. Just as she wilted against her bonds, the first lash, stronger than before, streaked across her ass. They came fast and furious, no break in between. Micah set a relentless pace, one destined to try the limits of her endurance. Locked into Damon's loving gaze, his strength bleeding into her, bolstering her, the pain diminished. What was given in punishment became intensely pleasurable, and yet she knew it was not meant to be. The room became hazy around her as she slipped beyond the immediacy of her bonds, of the welts rising on her ass. A soft sigh escaped her, and she stopped mentally counting the loud smacks as they fell. Damon was all she could see, his hand cupped under her chin, supporting her even in punishment. His gaze was hard but proud, and she reveled in that pride.
"Do this for me."
It was as if she heard the words aloud, as though he asked her to understand, to take it because he demanded it, because she wanted to please him. And she did. Sorrow bled through the pleasure, regret that she disappointed him. "I'm sorry," she whispered as the final lash descended. Damon cupped her face in his hands and gently kissed away the tears that she hadn't realized she'd shed.
"Serena mine."
He said her name like a benediction, and his warm approval was all that she felt in that moment. The pain diminished. Tension lessened in her arms, and the soles of her feet met the floor again. Micah's hands touched the tops of her shoulders and pressed firmly down. At first, she didn't understand what he wanted. She was still hazy, her back hypersensitive. Light shudders worked over her body at the slightest touch. Her skin was alive, crawling, edgy with unfulfilled need. Damon was more patient this time as he waited for her.
"Down on your knees," Micah murmured close to her ear.
Her knees buckled instantaneously, and Micah caught her underneath her arms to keep her knees from hitting the floor. In front of her, Damon loosened his pants, unzipping them with deliberate precision. Micah's hand tangled in her hair, forcing her head up just as Damon reached into his pants and pulled out his cock. Damon stepped forward, his erection fisted in his hand. With Micah's hands at the base of her neck, forcing her head back, Damon put his palm on her forehead and guided his cock past her lips. Unlike at the auction, where he had to reprimand her for taking control, this time she was exhausted and let him use her mouth as he wanted. Micah supported her neck, while Damon thrusted repeatedly to the back of her throat. Damon's words echoed in her mind.
"You will give me pleasure and receive none in return."
But he was wrong. Her pleasure was tied to his. She opened herself to him fully, her gaze seeking his. Damon's eyes glittered above her as Micah angled her back even farther so Damon was all but straddling her face. He sank into her mouth until her lips met the crisp hairs at the base of his cock. For a long moment he remained there, still, his sack pressed firmly to her chin. She struggled, but Micah's hands tightened in her hair and Damon pressed harder. Her gaze flew up again, seeking his, and she immediately calmed. He withdrew, sliding his engorged cock over her tongue until the crown rested on her bottom lip. He reached down and cupped her chin as his cock was poised for re-entry.
"The longer you resist, the longer I'll make this last," Damon said. "You're mine, Serena. Your body is mine. Your mouth is mine. I own you. I'm fucking your mouth because it belongs to me. I'll use it for as long as it pleases me before I come, and you'll swallow everything I give to you."
In response, she merely opened her mouth wider to show him her submission. Immediately, he shoved forward, forcing himself to her very depths. She controlled the urge to fight, to gag and to reject the cock so deep in her throat. It took everything she had, but she focused on Damon's eyes, locked onto the warmth and approval she found there, and she blocked everything else out. As soon as she relented, he quit prolonging his orgasm and sped up his pace until he fucked her mouth as he would her pussy. Her cheeks hollowed and the sucking sounds filled the room as he smacked in and out of her mouth. Precum spilled and coated her tongue as he swelled larger. Two men held her head. She was powerless and immobile. On her knees, her legs spread and bound, his cock possessing her mouth with relentless force. It was almost as though she were having an out-of-body experience. For as with the whipping, she slipped from the boundaries laid by her body and floated free, high on pleasure she didn't understand but embraced with her entire being. Damon's face blurred, but she felt him. His hands, his strength, his cock, and finally the very essence of him. Male, primitive. She drank greedily, determined that she would reject no part of his offering. In his hands, she found a comfort she'd never imagined, a security and safe haven that she would never know outside of his arms. She knew it, accepted it as an irrefutable truth. Serena. She heard her name, soft and mellow, from a distance. Serena mine. Loving, tender and approving. A dreamy smile tugged at her lips, and it was then she realized that Damon had slipped from her mouth. Micah's hands had left her hair. Gentle hands were tugging her upward as fingers pulled at the bonds at her ankles. Her legs shook, and she wobbled precariously, but she was caught against a hard chest. Whispered words melted over her ears. Damon's face came into focus. She blinked, once and then twice.
"Go and kneel by my chair,"
Damon said in a low voice.
"You'll remain there until our guests have taken their leave. I'll bring you food and drink once everyone else has been served."
Numbly, she stepped forward. Though Damon let her walk alone, he followed close behind, and she knew he wouldn't let her fall. As she sank to her knees on the soft pallet by his chair, a soft moan escaped before she could call it back. The warm, heady flow of pleasure faded and was replaced by a pulsating ache across her throbbing back and buttocks. Awareness of her surroundings flooded back as she watched the activity in the room return to normal. She was largely ignored save for the occasional curious glance thrown her way. She held herself rigid, determined not to disappoint Damon further in front of his friends. Her jaw ached from being set so hard, but she'd allow no sound of discomfort to escape her. How could she have gone from such indecision just hours earlier to complete and utter acceptance of Damon's demands? Did distance change her perspective? Did proximity blind her to all reason? What had possessed her to goad Damon as she had done? At the time, she'd been angry, lashing out, more over her own indecision and frustration than anything Damon had done. Now she just felt foolish. And she still had one more punishment to suffer. Her shoulders sagged, not in fear, but in regret. Across the room, Damon stood with Micah and one other man. They conversed in low tones, occasionally stopping as others joined. Damon was comfortable with these people. He smiled easily and gestured with his hands. A flush crawled over her cheeks when, at one point, she obviously became the conversation piece because they all turned to glance at her. One man gestured toward her and smiled broadly at Damon. Damon's expression changed rapidly, becoming dark. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the man had wanted. She lowered her head, refusing to look at those observing her any longer.
"Your shame becomes his."
Serena's head came up to see Robbie standing a foot away holding a drink as he looked over at Damon.
"Hold your head up so that he can hold his up. Give him pride."
She resisted the idea of this man telling her anything, but neither did she want to cause Damon any more embarrassment than she already had. Her gaze slid coolly over Robbie's face before she nodded briefly in acceptance of his dictate. Evidently satisfied, he walked away to join a beautiful woman across the room. Was she his slave? His touch was possessive as he slid his hand up her back and then around her waist. She smiled welcomely at him, and he bent down to nuzzle at her ear. There was clear affection between them, even if her posture was submissive. The next hour was a test of her staying power. Her back ached. Her legs ached from kneeling. Her spine was stiff from her position, and she wanted nothing more than to lie down and curl into a ball. Damon had largely ignored her, sparing her only an occasional glance before he returned to his guests. There was laughter and conversation, and, for the most part, Serena ceased to exist. Then the call for dinner was given, and if Serena thought being on display in front of everyone had been difficult, the sudden quiet of the empty living room was worse. The guests filed into the dining room, and she could only hear them in the distance. She could get up and walk out. Nothing was keeping her here. She could go to the bedroom and crawl into bed, or she could simply walk out, get into her car and go home. To her apartment. Back to her life. Fulfilling other people's fantasies. Selling them lies and half-truths. Shades of gray. Pocket dreams and a day in the sun. But still she knelt there, determination driving her relentlessly. It was no longer about her and her fantasy. If she left, if she walked away, her failure became Damon's. He didn't deserve it when he'd only given her what she wanted. "Is this what you want?" It came to her as a whisper, a soft ribbon threading its way through her consciousness. It was a question she couldn't answer, or maybe she didn't want to answer it. She lost track of time and was startled when the guests began to trickle back into the living room. Damon approached, holding a plate. Without saying anything, he settled into the chair beside her. With a gentle hand, he directed her head until she rested on his lap. A sigh of contentment, of weariness and relief, expelled from the innermost part of her body. He fed her, small bites, coaxing them past her lips. Occasionally he stopped to offer her a drink from the glass at his side. There was a calmness and intimacy to his movements. He didn't just feed her mechanically. He touched her frequently, short little brushes across her cheek, or he'd smooth the strand of hair from her face. When wine gathered at the corner of her mouth, he wiped it away with his thumb and then licked at the pad. She closed her eyes as her cheek rested against his leg. He didn't make any further attempt to feed her more. Instead, he simply stroked her cheek. As he spoke to those around him, his fingers slid into her hair and to her nape where he gently massaged. She was very nearly asleep when she heard Damon say goodbye. Her eyes opened sluggishly, and Damon carefully pushed her head away as he rose. She wobbled and then steadied herself as she watched him see his friends out. Soon, there was only her and Damon. He stood at the doorway of the living room, staring at her. In that moment, she wished she could read his thoughts, wished they were broadcast on his face, but he was expressionless. Nervous apprehension fluttered deep in her stomach when she remembered that he'd promised her a private punishment after his guests had left. She swallowed as he finally made his way over to her. He stopped a short distance away and simply held his hand down to her. She reached up and slid her fingers across his warm palm. He pulled her to her feet and then turned her in the direction of the bedroom. They walked in silence, her dread growing with each step. The bedroom was dark as they entered, but Damon made no move to turn on the light. "Do you need to use the bathroom before bed?" he asked, startling the silence with his deep voice. "No," she said quietly, not sure he'd see her head if she shook it. He left her a few feet from the bed and went to pull back the covers. When he finished, he turned and took her hand. Unsure of what he wanted or what he would do, she let him guide her to the mattress. But then he merely eased her into the bed and pulled the covers up over her as her head settled onto the pillow. Without a word or gesture, he simply turned around and walked out, leaving her there in the dark. For a long time she lay there, waiting, expecting. Fatigue settled into her limbs, but she fought the veil of sleep, waiting for Damon to return. Loneliness aided her. She wanted him there, even if it meant her punishment. She wanted him to return and settle it so they could go back to the easy companionship they'd enjoyed during the week she devoted solely to him. She wanted to tell him she was sorry. She watched the clock, flinching as each minute passed. After an hour, desolation covered her like a fog. Where was he? She curled into a ball, gathering the sheets around her in an attempt to comfort the coldness that invaded her. As tired as she was, as much as she fought the urge to sleep, it wasn't right. He hadn't found her. He hadn't come to bed. As she huddled there in the dark, alone with longing that nagged insidiously at her, bleak realization came. This was her punishment, and it was worse than the lash of his belt. Chapter 31 Damon sat in the armchair that faced his bed, watching Serena sleep as dawn seeped through the window over his shoulder. He'd slept little, opting to work late into the night. He'd caught a few hours on the couch in his office before coming here so he could be with Serena when she woke. Her face was turned to him, and he could see the evidence of old tears on her cheeks. The idea that he'd hurt her with his desertion didn't make him feel better. The punishment was necessary. She was teetering between the two worlds, one of her making and one of her choosing. But it didn't soothe him to know he'd caused her pain. Her pain was his pain. Her joy was his joy. He loved her. He shook his head in denial, though there was no one to see it. An intelligent man learned from his mistakes. He'd already loved a woman he couldn't hold on to, only he hadn't known it until too late. From the beginning he'd known he couldn't have Serena, and it should have been easy to keep his emotions separate from their arrangement. Should have been was just another way of saying he'd fucked up. He dragged a hand through his hair and tilted his head up to stare at the ceiling. What the fuck was he going to do for the next 3 weeks? Continue living a lie while he gave a little more of himself away in the process? He lowered his head until he once again found her soft outline nestled in his bed. His bed. His woman. What he wouldn't give for it to be real. 3 weeks. He could take what she offered, or he could have nothing at all. Were 3 weeks worth having knowing she'd walk away after they were over? She was close to walking now. He'd seen it in her eyes, even as he hoped with everything he had that she'd stay. All or nothing was bullshit. It never worked out that way. Life was all about taking what you could get when you could get it, and surviving when it wasn't enough. Yeah, he'd take the 3 weeks, because when it was over, it would be all he'd have of her to hold on to. The memory of when, for a time, she was his. Serena woke from a drugged sleep, her eyes heavy and swollen. For a moment she simply stared out the window as she realized that she was still alone in bed. Then her gaze flickered to the chair next to the window, and she blinked when she saw Damon sitting there, angled to the side. He was asleep. She threw off the covers and her feet hit the floor as she hurried from the bed. Ignoring the soreness of her muscles and the tingling of her back, she flew across the floor. She came to a halt in front of him, her hands outstretched to touch him, but she remained still as she simply drank in his appearance. He looked tired, his hair rumpled and the shadow of stubble on his jaw. He was wearing the same clothes he'd worn at the party the evening before. The same clothes, minus the belt he'd used on her back. There was a vulnerable look to his face in sleep, an opportunity to see his expression unguarded. Slowly, she sank to her knees between his legs and laid her head against his thigh. He stirred, and she took his hand in hers, lacing their fingers together. And then she brought his hand to her lips and kept it there. "Serena," he whispered. Though it was hard, and she feared what she'd see in his eyes, she raised her head to meet his gaze. She didn't like to think of how she appeared, so open and unguarded, her feelings and uncertainty so evident, but she owed him this. "I'm sorry," she said in a low voice. "You didn't deserve how I treated you yesterday. You've been so good to me, Damon." He raised his hand to cup her jaw, and he rubbed his thumb tenderly over her cheek.
"You sound as though you're saying goodbye,"
he said, and she was surprised to hear a note of sadness in his voice.
"I would think you'd want me to leave. I'm not proving to be a very good slave," she said wryly.
He stroked her face, his fingers feathering over her cheekbone.
"I want you to stay, Serena mine. I want it more than anything."
"Then I'll stay."
The resolve in her words shook her. They sounded so final when she herself was so uncertain. She didn't want to make a promise she couldn't keep. They had a contract, for God's sake, one that could be withdrawn if one or more of the parties desired. This wasn't supposed to be personal. It was business.
"What are you thinking?" he asked. A shadow crossed over your face, and you suddenly seem so sad.
She sighed and rubbed her cheek against his palm.
"This wasn't supposed to become so...
involved? Emotional? Painful?"
She nodded. He'd used just the right words. How else to describe the rawness and the ache that had nothing to do with the kiss of the belt?
"Maybe we shouldn't continue this," she said.
"I won't make the decision for you," Damon said. "I want you to stay, but I can't and won't make you."
"I want to be here,"
she said as she swallowed back the throb in her voice.
"Then you should stay."
"You make it sound so simple."
He tugged at her chin and rubbed his thumb over her bottom lip.
"It is simple. If you want to stay, then don't go."
"I feel as though I've lost something, some part of myself. But I don't know what. So how can I have missed it?
And what have you gained?
He asked softly. She stared at him with wide eyes, his question hitting her hard enough to knock the breath from her.
Gained. Lost. Wasn't life a never-ending process of both?
She looked down, unsure of what to say. He turned his wrist to glance at his watch and then made a sound of regret.
You're going to be late if you don't shower and dress now, Serena mine.
She laid her head down on his lap for a long moment as his fingers trickled down her hair. Then she nodded and pushed herself to stand in front of him, and waited. He brought her hand to his lips and kissed it.
Go now, Serena. I'll see about your breakfast while you get ready for work. I'll be in the dining room.
Chapter 32. You can't avoid us forever, Serena. Don't think I won't show up at your office and drag you out kicking and screaming if I have to, Faith said when Serena answered her office line. Serena sighed and put her palm to her aching head. She shifted forward in her seat because whenever she brushed across the leather, it irritated her still sensitive back. I'm busy, Faith, trying to catch up after being away from work for a week. Faith snorted. You're avoiding me and we both know it. Be glad it's me calling and not Julie. Yeah, well, why isn't she? Serena asked. Not like her to miss out on an opportunity to be nosy. She's too busy plotting.
I don't even want to know, Serena said.
And she didn't. She was simply too tired and had too much on her mind to worry about whether or not Julie was ever going to make a move on Nathan. She said as much to Faith. I think she's giving up on Nathan. Well, after she carries off her scheme to show him what he's missing out on. Serena rolled her eyes, amused despite the heaviness weighing on her. You should probably know. She plans to approach Damon.
What?
Not personally, and not until after your month is up, Faith said quickly. She wants him to set up a fantasy for her.
For the love of God, Serena muttered. He's not a freaking pimp.
Says the woman who went to him for the same thing, Faith pointed out.
You're not endearing yourself to me right now, Faith.
If it makes you feel any better, both Gray and I tried to talk her out of it. For different reasons, mind you. I don't have a problem with Damon's establishment, just Julie's motivation. Gray hates the house, and I think he's afraid Julie will drag me there with her, she finished with a laugh. Serena didn't want to think about the end of her time with Damon, or that Julie would be going to him for help. Who is to say he wouldn't volunteer for Julie's fantasy? Guilt nagged her even as she thought about it. Nothing Damon had ever said or done made her think he approached sex so casually that he'd jump from her bed to her friend's. And speaking of friends,
Faith, about Micah.
What about Micah? Faith asked.
Do you and he and Gray have an agreement?
God, how the hell was she supposed to put this anyway?
Why are you asking? Faith asked softly.
Fuck me. He saw me naked. Damon didn't plan it that way, mind you. It was my own fault. But then he sort of participated in my punishment. And, well, afterward, I remembered that you and him, that is, you and him and Gray. Well, I just felt bad about it.
Serena, there is nothing between me and Micah except deep friendship. I love him dearly, and yes, we had sex. Once.
There is no agreement. Gray would have a coronary if someone suggested it. But now, you know, you're going to have to tell me all about this punishment Micah participated in, because it sounds freaking hot.
Serena groaned. Look, can we do this some other time? You've made sure I'm alive and well, and I really do have work to catch up on. And I sure as hell don't want to be late tonight and cause Damon the same grief I caused last night.
But you are well? Faith asked quietly. I don't get the impression that things were okay yesterday. I'm worried about you, Serena. I've worried about you from the start of this, and I'm worried about Damon. I don't want either of you hurt.
I don't want us hurt either, Serena said quietly. But I'm afraid it might be too late.
Oh, Serena. Faith's unhappy voice filtered over the line. Do you want me to meet you for lunch?
I really appreciate you trying to help, Faith. Really, I do. But this is something I have to work out on my own.
I understand. But I need to say one last thing. If you can't give Damon what he wants, what he needs, then let him go.
Serena stared at the phone for a long time after Faith hung up.
Let him go. It sounded so easy. And it should be. Who the hell formed an attachment after only 1 week?
Okay, it had been longer than a week. But not much.
and it was still too soon to feel so deeply for another person. But that wasn't what was important. They wanted different things, and not insignificant things like favorite foods or different brands of toothpaste. Damon wanted a woman like Serena had pretended to be for the last week, and he wanted her on a permanent basis. Serena? Serena looked up to see Carrie standing in her office doorway. She frowned. Carrie had been crying. What's wrong? She asked sharply. Mrs. Tosco just called. Did something go wrong with the cruise? Serena asked. Carrie's eyes filled with fresh tears.
No. In fact, it was perfect. Mrs. Tosco said she'd never seen Michelle so happy. They were scheduled to return to port today. Michelle died in her sleep last night.
Serena went completely still. Her chest hurt as pressure increased.
They just wanted to say thank you,
Carrie said in a choked voice.
They said Michelle's last hours were so full of joy and wonder. The princess party you arranged was the highlight of her life.
Find out when funeral arrangements are being made, Serena said. Send flowers.
Carrie stood there, her expression one of surprise.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
Just do it, Carrie. And if that's all, I'm really busy right now.
Carrie spun around and stalked from Serena's office, slamming the door behind her. For a long moment, Serena stared at the closed door. Then she dropped her head to her desk, burying her face in her arms. Her shoulders shook uncontrollably as the tears came. She was fooling herself. What she gave her clients wasn't real. It wasn't even a substitute for real. She dealt in games and deception. She could give a little girl the trappings of being a princess, but she couldn't give her what mattered most. A long, healthy life with parents who loved her. Damon was wrong. Dreamers did die. They died every single day.
Damon was sitting in his chair when Serena walked in the door that afternoon. He laid aside his laptop and looked up, prepared to call her over. His welcome died on his lips when he saw her pale, strained face. She dropped her briefcase by the door and kicked off her shoes almost mechanically. Then she walked slowly toward him, her eyes thick with grief. She looked as though she'd been crying, but she was completely dry-eyed now. He got up to his feet and crossed the room to meet her. As soon as he got close, a small cry erupted from her lips and she threw herself in his arms. He gathered her close and held her as sobs cracked from her lips, falling harshly on his ears. He guided her to the couch, half carrying her and half assisting, and then sat, pulling her down onto his lap.
Serena, tell me what's wrong. Are you hurt? What happened?
She buried her face in his neck and held him tightly, her fingers digging into his skin. Her sobs continued to spill out, and so he simply held her, until finally she quieted and lay limply against his chest, her strength drained.
Serena?
She tensed and drew in a slight breath, and her body felt small and fragile against his. Dread tightened around his throat because he couldn't help but know what she was going to say.
I'm leaving, Damon,
she said in a hoarse, quiet voice.
I tore up the contract. The agreement is done. You're free.
He went still. The pain of her announcement shocked him with its ferocity when it shouldn't have. He knew it was coming, and yet he felt each word like a serrated edge over his heart.
Why? He demanded.
She started to pull away, almost violent in her movements as she sought to free herself from his embrace. But he wouldn't let her up. No, she would face him and give him the reason, damn it. He wouldn't make it easy for her when this was the hardest thing he'd ever had to confront. He gathered her wrists in his hands and held them close to his chest.
Why, Serena? You owe me that much.
I owe you no explanation, she said in a cold voice. Either party can terminate the contract at will.
I don't give a damn about the fucking contract. This isn't about a piece of goddamn paper, Serena. This is you and me and what we've shared, and I deserve to know why you're throwing it away.
I can't live a lie any longer, she whispered. It hurts. Everything I do is a lie. It's not real. It can't be real. I can't give people what they truly want or need, and you aren't any different. I can't give you what you need, Damon. So I'm letting you go.
He stared at her as the garbled explanation fell from her lips. She pushed herself away from him again, and this time he let her go. She turned to go, but before she took a step, he said her name.
She hesitated but didn't turn around.
I love you, Serena.
This time she stopped. He could see her shoulders trembling, see her fingers ball into fists at her sides.
Stay,
he said softly. Slowly, she turned around, devastation written on her face. Her mouth tightened and her throat worked up and down as she swallowed.
No,
she whispered. And there it was, the one word she'd never said, the one word he'd told her would free her. His pain was stunning and fierce. The finality of it rolled over him until he could barely stand it. Her hand flew to her mouth and she made a sound, a wounded, pained sound that an animal might make. And then she ran. Chapter 33 Serena knew she was pushing herself too hard. She knew she was avoiding her friends. And she knew without a doubt that she didn't have a prayer of ever getting over Damon. She was a coward, a bitch, and she was heartbroken. She hadn't attended Michelle's funeral. Carrie was livid and had called her heartless. Serena didn't deny it. If she had any sort of heart, she wouldn't have strung Damon along making promises she couldn't keep. Oh, she hadn't overtly made any promises, but she'd bought into the whole fantasy, lost herself in something that wasn't real. She'd wanted it, and wanted it badly. No. Going to the funeral wasn't something she could handle. But still, she found herself walking slowly toward Michelle's headstone as the evening shadows lengthened. Newly dug dirt lay atop the small mound and a huge assortment of flowers decorated the area. Serena's gaze fell on the shiny stone, still so new, where Michelle's name was engraved. Tears welled when she saw that below her name her parents had added an inscription. Always our princess. Serena knelt and carefully leaned over to place a tiara at the head of the grave.
If there is any justice, you're reigning in heaven with a pink princess gown, a diamond tiara, and a purple scepter,
Serena whispered.
I'm so sorry I couldn't do for you the one thing that mattered most.
But you did.
Serena whipped guiltily around and saw Mrs. Tosco standing there, tears shining on her cheeks.
I'm sorry,
Serena murmured as she stood.
I didn't mean to intrude.
She started to walk away, but Mrs. Tosco touched her arm as she got close.
Please don't go.
Serena hesitated, torn between the need to be away before she succumbed to the tears boiling at her eyes, and the pain she saw reflected in a mother's eyes.
I heard what you said, and you're wrong. There was nothing anyone could do for Michelle's health. God knows we tried. We saw countless doctors, tried treatment after treatment. But we knew. We knew she didn't have long. What you did was give a little girl who had known so much pain and sorrow a reason to smile, to laugh, to be happy, even when she knew she was dying. For that, Miss James, you will always have my undying gratitude.
Her voice broke on a sob, and she covered her mouth with trembling fingers.
I can never repay you for the sight of my daughter's face lit up like a million suns as she danced at her coronation ceremony aboard the cruise ship, or for the look on her father's face as he whirled her around the dance floor.
She enfolded Serena in her arms and hugged her tightly as sobs racked her frame.
I'm sorry for your loss,
Serena whispered, knowing it wasn't enough, that it would never be enough.
Thank you. Thank you for me and her father both. We'll never forget what you did for our daughter.
Serena tried to smile and failed. Mrs. Tosca squeezed her hand and then slowly moved past her and away from the gravesite. A slight breeze blew the tears dry on Serena's face and then replaced them as she stared back at the tiara sitting in front of the stone. Realization and death of dreams. Life. She could spout the bullshit about how things were cyclical, but it wouldn't bring her any peace. And it damn sure wouldn't make her feel better about a little princess who wanted so little and gave so much. Exhausted and heartsick, she began the walk back to her car. Though it was warm and muggy with barely a breeze to break the oppressive heat, Serena hugged her arms close to her body and put her head down as she walked along the manicured pathway of the cemetery. Her fingers lay over the armband that Damon had given her, hidden by her sleeve. She hadn't taken it or the ankle bracelet off. She couldn't bear to. When she reached the parking lot, she dug into her jeans pocket for her keys, and when she looked up, she saw Julie and Faith standing by her car. They didn't wait for her to react, say hello, or go away. They converged, flanking her and wrapping an arm around her waist and shoulders.
Gray said he and Connor would get your car on their way home,
Faith said as she herded Serena toward her vehicle.
You're coming with me and Julie, even if we have to knock your ass out. When she didn't even offer an argument, Julie gave her a worried look.
You look exhausted, Serena. When was the last time you slept?
I haven't.
She closed her eyes to prevent the tears from coming.
Not since I left Damon.
Faith sighed and shoved her gently into the front seat.
Where are you taking me?
Serena asked mildly as Faith slid into the driver's seat. Julie leaned up from the back seat.
Well, we could call it some hokey bullshit like intervention, but I preferred to call it us kicking your dumb ass.
Serena laughed, but it sounded harsh and ugly. She leaned her head against the seat as warm tears left salt trails down her cheeks.
Julie squeezed her arm as Faith backed out of the parking lot.
They drove in silence, and Serena kept her eyes closed, not wanting to see the pity or concern in her friend's eyes. She still had no idea where they were going, but if it involved food and sleep, she could certainly deal.
She fell asleep, and when she woke again, Faith and Julie were pulling her out of the front seat.
As she staggered to her feet, the smell of salt and an ocean breeze wafted gently through her senses.
Where are we?
She asked as she tried to blink the fog from her eyes.
Beach house, Julie said.
Serena frowned as they mounted the steps to the large house. A single light shone from the porch, warm and inviting.
Whose house? Does it matter?
Faith asked in exasperation.
Guess not, Serena muttered, as long as it has food and a pillow.
I'd say it's about time you started talking about eating and sleeping. You look like you haven't had either in a week, Julie said.
Serena sighed. She'd lost count of the days.
It didn't matter.
Faith unlocked the door, and they walked inside. Julie went back out for their bags while Faith plopped Serena down on the couch with instructions to stay.
Yes, Mom, Serena mumbled.
They fussed, bullied, pinched and prodded until she ate every single thing they put on the plate they prepared for her. She dreaded the end of the meal because she knew that was when they'd start in with the demand for answers.
But to her surprise, they bundled her off to bed. Get some sleep, Serena, Faith urged. We'll be here when you wake up.
You're done running yourself into the ground.
Serena nodded to acknowledge she'd heard, but she was already going under.
Julie glanced over at Faith and held her finger to her lips, then angled her head toward the door. They walked outside and shut the bedroom door before returning to the living room.
I need to call Damon, Faith said. He's been worried sick about her.
And Gray. He wasn't crazy about you coming down here without him, Julie said.
Faith shivered. I wasn't so crazy about it myself, but at least it's not the same beach house. Damon sold the one where Gray was shot.
Do you think we're doing the right thing? Julie asked.
I can't decide. And yet I know we couldn't stand by and watch her self-destruct.
Hell, Faith. What are we going to do when she wakes up? I don't have the answers.
Faith paused in the act of taking out her cell phone.
Honestly, I don't think Serena's going to get better until she and Damon are together again.
Did I mention that I hate meddling friends? Julie grumbled. I hate being one even more. It was her decision, Faith. We can't make her go back to Damon.
I told her to give him up, Faith said painfully. I should have stayed out of it.
Oh, shut up. Serena didn't leave Damon because you told her to. And if she did, she's a bigger dumbass than I thought.
Faith leveled a glare at her.
You know, Julie, it's amazing Serena and I haven't cut your throat. If I were you, I'd sleep real light tonight.
Call your man and then call Damon. I don't think I've ever seen a man so worried over a woman. Made me all gooey inside.
Let's just hope this works, Faith said as she punched the keypad of her phone.
Chapter 34. Sunlight speared her right through her eyeball as soon as Serena cracked one eyelid open. With a groan, she turned so that the sun was out of her face. Her gaze fell on the clock, and she saw it was straight up noon. Every muscle in her body grimaced when she tried to move, so she just lay there listening to the distant sounds of the gulf. A seagull's cry echoed right outside the window, followed by another, and still another.
Peace. Such an elusive, sweet creature.
It mocked her at every turn. Faith and Julie waited outside that door, and Serena wasn't ready to go yet. She burrowed deeper under the covers, sleep still lurking close on the horizon. It was tempting to retreat and sleep until she forgot, until the pain and sadness went away. But she'd already proven herself the world's biggest coward. With a sigh, she swung her legs over the side of the bed and stood. She registered that she was still in yesterday's clothes about the time she saw the jeans and t-shirt lying on the dresser against the wall. Apparently, she should add breaking and entering to the list of crimes that Julie and Faith were accumulating. They'd obviously raided her apartment before abducting her and carting her off to the beach. A smile softened the strain around her lips. They were the best. They'd drag her back into the world, kicking and screaming. They'd listen to her cry and bitch and wail. But then they'd tell her to shut the fuck up and get over it. She collected her clothes and headed for the bathroom that adjoined the bedroom they'd stuffed her in. After a quick shower, she almost felt human again. She dressed and then ducked back in her room to get the light windbreaker she'd worn the night before. Her hand found the armband again, and she traced the outline through the jacket sleeve. She closed her eyes, determined not to give in to the grief hurtling through her mind. She steadied her composure and then shuffled down the hall, ready to face her kidnappers. The living room was quiet and empty, but as Serena glanced out the glass doors leading to the wooden deck overlooking the ocean, she saw Faith and Julie sprawled in loungers, drinks in hand. She squared her shoulders, sucked in a breath, and headed for the door. As soon as she slid it open, Julie and Faith both sat up and turned to look at her. "Well, you look better," Julie said bluntly. "Not that you look great, but definitely a step above hammered horseshit." Serena smiled wryly. "Thanks, Julie." Faith got up and took her arm and immediately herded her toward a lounger. "Sit," she insisted. Then she turned to Julie. "Get her some juice and something to eat, then we'll make her talk." Serena laughed and marveled at how weird it sounded. "Will there be pain involved?" "Only if you clam up on us," Julie said as she headed inside. Serena took the lounger Julie had vacated and leaned back, directing her face into the sun. Warmth spread over her skin, but oddly, she still felt cold on the inside. "What happened, Serena?" Faith asked quietly. "I stopped trying to sell rainbows and wishes." "What the hell does that mean?" "It means I'm through dealing in fantasies, Faith."
"But what about your business? Your clients? Serena, you've made so many people happy."
Serena closed her eyes. Except for her. In that, she'd failed miserably and hurt a good man in the process.
"Okay, so what did I miss?" Julie asked as she came back out.
She plopped a plate on Serena's lap, forcing her to open her eyes again. Then she held out a glass of juice.
"Apparently Serena is done with Fantasy Incorporated," Faith said darkly.
"Say what?"
"I'm selling the business," Serena said calmly.
"But why?" Julie demanded. "This was your brainchild, your baby."
"Not anymore," Serena said softly. "Someone else can take over and do the same. It's just not me anymore. I'm tired of fantasy. It's not real. Nothing was."
"Okay, are we talking about your clients here, or are we talking about you and Damon?" Faith asked.
Serena's hands trembled around her glass of juice, causing it to slosh precariously close to the rim. She sat forward and placed the glass on the legrest of the lounger and set her plate down on the deck.
"Damon deserves someone who isn't playing games," she whispered. "Someone not out for fantasy and cheap thrills."
Faith sighed.
"Serena, you only gave it a week. Then you ran like the hounds of hell were after you."
Serena dropped her head and put her hands over her face.
"I love him, Faith."
"Whoa, back up," Julie interjected. "I was with you up until that part. You love the guy, after only 1 week, mind you? But instead of sticking around to see how things work out, you dump him? Makes perfect sense to me."
"You don't understand," Serena said as she raised her head again.
Faith leaned forward on her chair and took Serena's hand in hers.
"Then make us understand, Serena, because you're obviously miserable. You've been avoiding us. You're not eating. You're not sleeping. And Julie's right. You look like hell warmed over. It has to stop."
"How do you stop loving someone?" Serena asked. "I don't even know if it's him I love or if I'm in love with the fantasy he gave me. Do you see my problem now? And how am I supposed to believe he loves me when I never gave him the real me? The real Serena? He loves a fantasy. He loves the ideal I sold him."
Faith expelled a long breath. Even Julie had nothing to say for once. Finally, Faith scooted in closer to Serena and looked her hard in the eye.
"Are you sure you didn't give him the real Serena?" Faith asked gently. Is the thought of what he wants so abhorrent to you?
It was a game, Serena said. A role I played. A role he played.
Faith held up her hand. Whatever you may think about your actions, let me assure you that Damon never played a role. What you saw, what you got, was Damon. He doesn't play games. Yes, he entered into the agreement, but it was because you wanted what he could give you. He didn't have to act, Serena. That's the real Damon.
Look, I appreciate what you guys are trying to do, believe me. But I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to rehash it because that's all I've done for the past week. I just want to forget.
Even as she said it, a cold chill snaked through her veins, and she clutched the jacket tighter around her. Maybe she was coming down with a bug. God knew she hadn't been taking care of herself worth a damn.
Damon would have taken care of you. He would have never let you get so run down.
She closed her eyes and shook her head. It wasn't Damon's responsibility to take care of her. It was hers.
Can you forget? Faith asked. Really?
Or are you instead going to screw up the best thing that's ever happened to you because you're afraid? Serena gave her friend a startled look.
Afraid?
Yeah, afraid. Afraid that if you put your faith, your well-being, your entire self in Damon's hands, that he'll let you down, that he'll screw up. Serena, if that's the case, then you'll never have a relationship with a man, Julie said with a sigh. Believe me, I know. I'm not sure that fear ever goes away. We're women. We're conditioned to fear betrayal, I think. Or at least it feels that way.
It's not that, Serena said quietly. Damon wouldn't hurt me. I know that. I'm afraid I can't be what he needs. I'm afraid I'll hurt him.
Faith sighed.
Shouldn't you let Damon decide whether or not he wants to take the risk?
Serena had no answer for that. The question discomfited her because it was too close to the truth. She'd taken the decision out of Damon's hands entirely. She buried her face in her hands.
She was so damn tired. She wanted to sleep for a year.
Faith squeezed her leg and got up from her chair. Serena glanced up to see her check her watch and exchange glances with Julie. We've got to run to the store to stock up on supplies, Julie said. Why don't you stay here and hang out in the sun? We won't be gone too long. Serena nodded.
Thanks, guys, really.
Faith leaned down to hug her.
We just want you to get better.
If you had a rewind button, that would be cool, Serena said with a crooked grin. Faith looked at her with serious eyes.
Would you really go back and erase what you had with Damon if you could?
Serena stared out over the water, watching as the waves rolled into shore and then retreated.
No, she said honestly. I wouldn't trade that week for the world.
Chapter 35. Damon pulled up to his beach house and cut the engine. As he got out, he saw Julie and Faith coming down the steps of the house. They looked grim and worried. Faith came to him immediately and gave him a hug.
She's not doing well, Damon. She needs you.
Did she? He sure as hell needed her. He wanted her. But he had no idea what Serena wanted.
Where is she?
He asked quietly. We left her on the deck, Julie said tersely. She's a mess. She's talking about selling her business. It's like she's given up.
Damon closed his eyes. Had he done this to her? Made her so desperately unhappy? Go to her, Faith said softly. Convince her, Damon. She's so afraid.
He almost laughed. Afraid didn't even come close to describing his feelings. He was absolutely terrified. Terrified that he'd fail, and that he'd leave without her. We're gonna go, Julie said. Call us if you need us, okay?
Thank you, he said to them both. You're good friends to Serena. She's lucky to have you. If I have my way, she'll be leaving with me.
He watched as they got into Faith's car and drove away, and then he turned back to stare at the beach house. Faith had told him on the phone that Serena was exhausted, hadn't eaten and looked like hell. He wanted to walk in, turn her over his knee and spank her ass for not taking better care of herself, but that wasn't going to win him any points in his pursuit. Instead, he was stuck walking on tiptoe until he could find a way to persuade Serena that she belonged to him and they belonged together. He squinted against the sun and mounted the steps. He let himself in the front door and headed for the back deck. When he got to the glass doors, though, he didn't see her in the lounger. He opened the doors and stepped out, scanning the beach. His pulse leaped when he saw her, standing in the distance, her back to him as she stared out over the water.
He crossed the deck and made his way down the wooden walkway over the dune and then stepped onto the beach. As he neared her, he slowed his pace. There was a fragility to her stance. Her arms were hugged tight around her body, and she was huddled in a jacket as though the wind blowing chilled her to the bone. Her hair whipped like streaks of midnight, and then she turned, ever so slightly, and he caught a hint of her profile, the softness of her face and the sad set of her lips. Faith was right. She looked tired. She looked worn out, but she was still beautiful. Serena mine. He didn't know whether he should stay where he was or go to her or wait for her to turn and see him standing there. The waiting was agony as he readied himself to fight a battle he wasn't prepared to lose. And then she turned, and those beautiful, expressive eyes widened in shock. Serena stared in bewilderment at Damon, who stood just a few feet away. He was dressed for a day in the sun. Khaki shorts, polo shirt, and brown sandals. Sunglasses were shoved to the top of his head, messing his hair slightly. He was heart-stoppingly gorgeous, and he stood there watching her, his liquid brown eyes bright with concern. But he was here. Joy, pure and unfettered, flooded her body until she feared she'd fall to her knees. She swayed and threw her hand out only to catch air as she tried to steady herself. He stepped forward to catch her, but she righted herself and blinked away the shock of seeing him so close after so many days.
"What are you doing here?"
she asked faintly.
"I came for you."
A shiver worked over her body. He frowned, concern brightening in his eyes.
"Are you cold?"
"I've been cold since the day I left your house," she whispered.
She wanted to cry, but more than that, she wanted to be warm again. He held out his arms, and she walked into them, unable to deny the comfort of his embrace. He tucked her head under his chin, and she laid her cheek against his chest. She closed her eyes as his warmth bled into her. Slowly the ice began to melt. A low throb began, and sweet relief whispered delicately through her veins. He lowered them both onto the sand, arranging his body around her as he positioned her between his legs. He kept firm hold of her, absorbing the trembles of her body as the cold gradually eased, and she could feel the sun once again.
"What happened, Serena mine?"
he asked against her hair.
"Why did you leave?"
She buried her face in his neck and tried to keep the tears at bay.
"She died, Damon," she said hoarsely. "Michelle, the girl I told you about. She died during the cruise I arranged for her."
Damon stroked her hair, offering her comfort with his touch. He was calm and methodical. No urgency to his actions. No question. Just acceptance. Did he have acceptance enough for both of them?
"I'm sorry," he said huskily. "I'm so sorry, Serena. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me help you? Why leave?"
For a long moment she lay there, unable to form a response around the knot in her throat. She knew her thoughts weren't logical. Maybe she'd always known she was chasing a fantasy. Damon waited. He sat there quietly, just holding her as she collected her courage.
"I thought that if I could give her her dream, it would be enough to save her. That if I could make magic for her, I could save her."
"Oh, sweetheart,"
Damon said, his voice cracking as emotion throbbed in his throat.
"When she died, I realized that nothing I'd done made a difference. None of it. She got a few minutes to be a princess, and her parents have a lifetime to live without their daughter. My clients still have to go back to their normal lives. They enjoy a brief respite and nothing more. I realize now how cruel it is to give someone a taste of paradise only to yank it away. I can't think of anything worse. I never knew, would have never known if I hadn't tried to fulfill my own fantasy. It was then that I realized that there are worse things than never living your dream or never indulging in a fantasy. It's far worse to get a taste and know that it isn't real, will never be real, and then go back to your regular life knowing what it's like to have perfection and that you'll never have it again. Some things are better left in the realm of fantasy," she said faintly.
"I think I understand what you're saying," he said.
She pulled slightly away so she could look into his eyes.
"Do you?
Then you know why I can't. Why we can't.
He shook his head. I said I understood what you were saying, not that I agreed.
He lifted a hand to her face and trailed his fingers over her temple and to her cheekbone. They shook as he moved them to her lips.
I have a lot I want to say to you, and I want you to listen to every word.
She nodded slowly.
Good. Now I understand that you're afraid. I understand that the volatility of our attraction, of our relationship, frightened you. It scared the shit out of me as well.
Her eyes widened.
Don't look so surprised, Serena mine. You knocked me for a friggin' loop.
He leaned in and brushed a light kiss across her lips before withdrawing again.
Somewhere along the way, you decided that the Serena who gave me the gift of herself couldn't possibly be real. That not only was she not real, but she could never be what I wanted and needed. And so you decided that in order to do what was best for me, you were going to leave me. Never mind the fact that you never once consulted me in the matter. Pretty messed up, wouldn't you say?
It's not that simple, she argued, remembering that she'd said the exact same thing to Julie and Faith not long ago. She glanced away, no longer able to meet the burning intensity of his eyes.
Serena, look at me,
he said gently. He didn't prod her, didn't tug at her chin as he had so many times before. But she turned back anyway, unable to resist his softly spoken request.
It's as simple or as complicated as we make it. Me? I'm a simple kind of guy. I love you, and I hope to hell you love me, or that maybe you can love me, given a little time and persuasion on my part. You, on the other hand, are as complicated as they come. You twist yourself in knots until you don't know which end is up. You try to convince yourself that you can't be what I want or need, but you've never asked me what I want, or what I need. Because if you had, I would have said only one thing. You.
She opened her mouth, but nothing would come out. He wiped his thumb over her lip as if removing the obstruction.
Don't you have anything to say to me right now? Like that you're sorry for running out on me? Or that you're sorry for worrying the absolute hell out of me? Or that I had to make your friends kidnap you so I could see you again?
He took a deep breath as though he was gathering his own brand of courage.
Or that you love me, just a little bit?
She stared at him for a long moment, trying to match his courage, trying to form the words and work them past the knot in her throat.
I do love you,
she finally whispered. The look of absolute joy, the crushing relief that flooded his eyes, took her breath away. His hands shook so badly against her face that he had to take them away to prevent them from bumping her skin. She put her hands to his face this time, needing the contact and needing him to understand that loving wasn't the be-all, end-all in the equation.
I think I love you, she amended. I want to love you. I just want to be sure of who it is I love, and I want you to be sure of who it is you love.
You're going to need a translator for that, Serena mine, because you lost me at the I think I love you part.
You were very honest about what you want in a relationship, Damon. I was honest about what I wanted out of my fantasy. You said you'd never settle for less, and I'm frightened of the person I became during that fantasy.
Why does she frighten you, Serena? He asked softly. Why do you think that this part of who you are can't be reconciled with all the other facets of your personality?
I lose all sense of myself when I'm with you, she blurted. You're an addiction, Damon. I can't stand the thought of disappointing you. I'd do anything for you, and that scares the shit out of me. It's like as soon as I get near you, I have this overwhelming desire to please you, to do anything you ask of me. Do you understand that?
I understand it because I live it every day that I'm with you, he said. Do you think that I don't burn to please you? That I don't live in fear of disappointing you? That I'm not afraid that I'll let you down or fail to protect you? It's hell, Serena, but it's also the sweetest pleasure I've ever known.
She stared back at him, stunned by his declaration. It mirrored her own feelings, her fears and panic. He described the jagged line she trod with him so very well.
What if there comes a day that I can't give you what you ask for? She choked out. What about when the fantasy dies and that person who'd do anything to please you ceases to exist? What then?
He put a finger to her lips.
I'll never ask you for something you can't give, Serena mine. I only want what you freely offer. I only want you. With me, belonging to me. Me protecting you, cherishing you, honoring you with my every breath. With my body, my soul, and my heart. What we have isn't fantasy. You may have convinced yourself that it isn't real.
but it doesn't get any more real than what we've shared."
Her heart ached so badly that she feared it was going to swell right out of her chest. How could she make him understand that what she feared the most was disappointing him, of seeing the love that shone so brightly in his eyes fade and die because she couldn't be what he wanted?
"There's nothing to say that we have to rush into this," he continued. "All I want is a chance, time, you with me, us working together."
"And if I disappoint you?" she asked. "If I decide I can't be what you want, what then?"
He smiled and shook his head. "Stubborn, hard-headed woman. Haven't you heard a word I've said? Serena, you can call yourself whatever you damn well want to. I've never liked the word slave, as Faith will attest. That was your word, your label. You once asked me what you were to call me, and I told you Damon, just Damon. So why can't we be Damon and Serena? Two people in love. We can work on everything else."
Hope fluttered and uncurled, rising toward the sun from its cold haven in her soul. Her pulse sped up, as against her will, she looked ahead to what could be if she took a chance.
"I'm sick to death of the word fantasy," Damon said. "If I never hear it again, it will be too soon. I'm real. You're real. Our love is real. Our attraction is real. Those welts on your pretty ass were real."
His hands moved to her arms, and his fingers collided with her armband through the material of her jacket. He stilled and glanced up at her, the question in his eyes. Then he carefully tugged at the sleeve of her jacket until he had her halfway out of it. The gold band gleamed in the sun, bright against her pale skin.
"You kept them on," he said softly. "You left, and yet you still wear the gifts I gave you. My mark of possession."
She raised her hand to touch the intricate design, tracing one of the lines until she bumped into his hand. "I couldn't bear to take them off," she admitted. "It seems so final."
He put his other hand on the opposite arm and pulled her gently to him.
Their lips touched, reverently, light and seeking. As her body pressed close to his, she could feel the tension rolling through his body, and it was then she realized how afraid he was.
"What's this about you selling your business?"
he asked in a quiet voice as he pulled away. There was no censure or reproach, no disappointment, just loving concern that made her throat swell and ache. She dropped her head only for him to cup her chin and tug gently until she faced him with watery eyes.
"I can't do it anymore," she whispered. "I can't sell false dreams."
His gaze softened, and the look he gave her was so full of understanding that she had to swallow back the tears.
"You're raw right now, and you're hurting," he said gently. "I think you should give yourself time before you make any decisions about your business. Spend some time with me, Serena mine. Give me us a chance. Let me take care of you. Let me cherish you the way I want to cherish you. Then, when you're ready, you can decide about Fantasy Incorporated. There's no hurry. You and I have all the time in the world."
The tears that had so threatened and stung her eyelids slid silently down her cheeks. "I'm so afraid," she whispered. But at the same time, the heavy weight, the burden she'd been carrying around, lifted and took wing. She felt lighter and freer as hope unfurled. He pulled her away just far enough that he could look into her eyes.
"The only way you could disappoint me is by giving up on us. Because all I ever want you to be is mine."
She stared at him for a long moment, taking in the loving sincerity in his voice. And then she smiled through her tears. "I certainly never want to disappoint you, Damon."
"Then say yes," he said, his voice urgent and hoarse. "Say you'll come home with me."
She curled her arms around his neck and raised her lips to his. For the first time, her fear subsided. Renewed hope, alive and strong, surged hotly through her heart. "Take me home," she whispered.
This concludes Sweet Persuasion.